They all glanced to one another, seeking courage. "You may think to kill me," he told them, the target not wavering in the slightest, "but you cannot before the Queen Mother dies. You saw the shot I made. My hand is guided by magic. I do not miss." The men backed away.
"Let him be," the Queen Mother called out. "Hear what he has to say."
"I have told you what the spirits have said. You will obey." She was silent a moment.
"We will consult the spirits ourselves."
"You would insult them? You would be admitting you do not heed their words, but your own worldly wishes."
"But we must—"
"I'm not here to bargain on their behalf. The spirits have ordered I give the sacrificial knife to this woman, so she may carry it back to her people, to show them that the Majin Dai will no longer hunt them. The spirits will warn you of their anger by taking the seed you plant, and only when you send representatives to the Baka Banmana and tell them you agree to the wishes of the spirits will you be able to plant your crops. If you do not follow the spirits' wishes, you will all starve to death. We are leaving now. I will have your word that we will be granted safe leave of your land, or you will die right now."
"We must consider—"
"I grant you until the count of three to give me your decision. 1, 2, 3.
The Queen Mother gasped. The women in black gasped. The crowd gasped.
"What have you decided?"
The Queen Mother held her free hand up, imploring he hold his arrow.
"You may go. You have the word of the Queen Mother that you may leave our land unharmed."
"A wise decision."
Her hand closed into a fist, one finger pointing toward them.
"But this is a violation of our agreement with the wise women. The accord is at an end. You must leave our land at once. You are banished."
"So be it," Richard said.
"But keep to your word, or you will reap the grim rewards of any imprudent action." He released the tension from the bow. Standing in his stirrups, he pulled the sacred knife from his belt and held it up high for all to see.
"This woman will take this back to her people and tell them of the words of the spirits. As to their part, the Baka Banmana may no longer make war on the Majin Dai. You may no longer make war on them. You will be two peoples at peace. Neither may harm the other. Heed the words of the spirits, or bear the consequences."
His voice dropped to a fierce whisper, yet the wrath of the magic carried the words to the farthest corners of the square, and in the stillness every ear could hear them.
"Heed my orders, or suffer what I will bring upon you. I will lay waste to you."
Magic lay over the square like fog in a valley, ethereal yet real, a palpable manifestation of his outrage that touched everyone present, and all trembled at that touch. Richard leapt off his horse. The men shrank back a few more steps. Sister Verna was speechless with rage. He had never seen her in such a state. She stood as if paralyzed, with her fists out before her. Richard leveled his glare and his wrath on her.
"Get on your horse, sister. We're leaving."
Her jaw looked ready to shatter under the pressure of how tightly it was clenched.
"You are mad. We will not—"
Richard thrust a finger toward her.
"If you wish to argue with someone, sister, you may stay and argue with these people. I'm sure they will oblige you. I'm going to the palace to get this collar off. If you want to go with me, then get on your horse."
"There is no way. We cannot now travel the horn of the Majin Dai land. We are banished."
Richard lifted his thumb to Duchailu.
"She will guide us to the palace of the prophets, through the Baka Banmana's land."
Duchailu folded her arms and gave the sister a self-satisfied smile. Sister Verna looked from her to Richard.
"You truly are mad. We cannot—"
Richard gritted his teeth with a growl, the sword's anger still at full fury.
"If you wish to go with me to the palace, get on your horse. I'm leaving."
Duchailu watched as Richard stuck the green-handled knife behind her buckskin belt.
"I have charged you with a responsibility. You will live up to it. Now get up on that horse."
Duchailu unfolded her arms in sudden worry, looking to the horse and back to him. She folded her arms again and put her nose in the air.
"I will not ride on that beast. It stinks."
"So do you," Richard roared. "Now get up on that horse."
She flinched back. Eyes wide in fright at his glare, she swallowed, gulping air.
"Now I know what a seeker is."
She scrambled awkwardly up onto Geraldine. The sister was already atop Jessup. Richard vaulted up onto Bonnie. With a last, warning look at the men gathered, he squeezed his horse's ribs, and she sprang into a gallop. The other two horses took out after him. The men swept back out of the way. The magic hungered for blood, raged for it. Richard wished someone would try to stop him. No one did.
"Please,"
Lucilu said.
"It is almost dark. May we please stop, or at least allow me to walk? This beast is hurting me."
She was holding on for dear life, bouncing in the saddle as Geraldine trotted along. The little strips of colored cloth on her dress were all aflutter. He could hear Sister Verna's horse trotting along behind, but he didn't look back at her. Richard glanced up at the sun, setting beyond the thick tangle of branches. His rage was finally withering with the light. For a time, it had seemed as if he would never be able to put it down. Duchailu pointed past him with her chin, to his right, afraid to lift a hand.
"There is a small pond there, through the reeds, and a grassy place before it."
"Are you sure we are in Bakabanmana land?"
She nodded.
"For the last few hours, this is our land. I know this place."
"All right, we will stop for the night."
He held her horse for her as she slid off. With a groan, she rubbed the flats of her hands on her bottom.
"If you make me ride that beast again tomorrow, I will bite you."
For the first time since they had left the Majan Dai, he was able to smile. As Richard went about unsaddling the horses, he sent Duchailu to get water in a canvas bucket. While she went off through the reeds and rushes to the pond, Sister Verna gathered wood and used her magic to set it afire. When he was finished caring for the horses, he put them on long tethers so they could graze on the grass.
"I guess introductions are in order," Richard said when Duchailu returned. "Sister Verna, this is Duchailu. Duchailu, this is Sister Verna."
Sister Verna seemed to have cooled, or at least put a mask over her anger. "I am pleased for you, Duchailu, that you did not have to die this day." Duchailu glared. Richard knew she thought of the Sisters of the Light as witches. "I do feel sorrow, however," the sister added, "for all those who will die in your place."
"You are not pleased for me. You wish me dead. You wish all the Bakabanmana to die."
"That is not true. I wish no one to die. But I know I could not convince you of that. Think what you will." Duchailu took the sacrificial knife from her belt and held the handle in front of Sister Verna's eyes.
"They kept me on that chain for 3 moons.
She looked to the green handle and pointed to one of the obscene couplings carved on it.
"Those dogs did this to me."
Sister Verna glanced to the knife as Duchailu tapped a finger to another scene.
And this too.
Sister Verna watched the other's chest heaving in ire.
"There is no way I could convince you, Duchailu, how much I abhor what they did to you and what they intended to do. There are many things in this world that I abhor, but can do nothing about, and in some cases must tolerate in order to serve a greater good."
Duchailu patted her belly.
"I have lost my moon flow. Those dogs have put me with child. Now I must go to the midwives and ask them for herbs to shed the child of a dog."
Sister Verna clasped her hands before herself.
"Please, Duchailu, don't do that. A child is a gift from the Creator. Please don't reject his gift."
"Gift? This great Creator has a wicked way of bestowing his gifts."
"Duchailu," Richard said, "up until now, the Majan Dai have killed every Bakabanmana they have captured. You are the first to be freed. They will kill no more. Think of this child as symbol of the new life between your peoples. For that new life, for all your children to flourish, the killing must stop."
"Let the child live."
"It has done no harm."
"The father has done harm."
Richard swallowed.
"Children are not necessarily evil, just because the father was."
"If the father is evil, then the child will be as he."
"That is not true," the sister said. "Richard's father was an evil man who killed many people, yet Richard seeks to preserve life. His mother knew that the guilt of crimes does not pass beyond the one who commits them. She did not spare her love because Richard's father raped her. Richard was raised by good people who taught him right. Because of that, you are alive today.
You can teach the child right."
Duchailu's fury faltered as she looked to Richard.
"Is this true? Your mother was treated as I, by an evil dog?"
Richard could only manage a nod. She rubbed her belly.
"I will consider what you say before I decide. You have returned my life. I will weigh your words."
Richard squeezed her shoulder. "Whatever you decide, I'm sure it will be for the best."
"If she lives long enough to decide," Sister Verna said, You've made promises and threats that you cannot fulfill. When the Majendai plant their crops and nothing happens, they will lose their fear of what you have told them today. What you've done will count for nothing, and they will once again make war on her people, to say nothing of mine.
Richard pulled the leather thong with the birdman's whistle off over his head.
I wouldn't exactly say nothing is going to happen, sister. Something is indeed going to happen.
He hung the whistle around Duchalu's neck.
This was a gift to me, and now my gift to you so that you can stop the killing.
He held the carved bone up.
This is a magic whistle. It calls birds, more birds than you've ever seen in one place before. I'm counting on you to fulfill my promise. You are to go to their planting fields. Keep yourself hidden. Then at sunset, blow on this magic whistle. You will hear no sound, but the birds will be called by the magic.
In your mind, keep picturing birds. Think of all the birds you know as you blow on the whistle, and keep blowing until they come. She touched the carved bone whistle.
Magic? The birds will truly come?
He gave her a one-sided glance.
Oh, yes, they'll come. There is no doubt of that. The magic will call them. No person will hear the sound, but the birds will. The Majendai will not know it's you who calls the birds. The birds will be hungry and will devour all the seed. Every time the Majendai plant seeds, you call the birds and take it away from them.
She grinned.
The Majendai will starve to death.
Richard put his face close to hers.
No, this is my gift to you to stop the killing, not a gift to help you kill. You will call the birds to steal their seed until the Majendai agree to live in peace with you. When they have fulfilled their part of the bargain, you must fulfill your part and agree to live in peace with them.
He put his first finger right in front of her nose.